Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Crosby to kick it off. Right to left. A low kick. Bouncing. Picked up a one of the up men at the 30. 35-yard line. Left. Dan Conley at the 40. 45. 50. Left side of the 40. 35-yard line. 30. 25. 20. 15 to the 10. To the 5. And inside the 5. Dan Conley. A big old guard.
Oh, my goodness.
How about that?
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, a man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Christmas shopping is done. Welcome to another edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. It's going to be a high-energy, action-packed, and godly knows what else. I promise no mall rants this week, although I say I got a pretty good response last week from some of my friends about it. But anyway, no more mall responses. No more mall rants because I didn't have to go with it. I got everything done. But I am going to rant about certain things as I just must. I just must, to be fair and balanced in this great state of ours in Massachusetts and around New England, around the world. I feel it is a must because of the ultimate overreaction by some local and national scribes and someone called experts out there who just continue to embarrass themselves when a Patriot win is not sexy enough, and all of a sudden those just who have had nothing but great things to say about this team over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and all of a sudden, because they only win the game by 4 points against Matt Flynn.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
So right. Absolutely so right. I'm not surprised because I knew it was coming. And you knew that when the game was over, it was 31-27, and I really didn't want to watch any of the post-game shows except to hear what the players and the coaches had to say. But I actually made a little chart of what I thought people would say, and I was right. I was right like 5 out of 5 times. Like I said earlier, certain people were on certain shows 3 times saying the same thing. Now, let me just say right off the bat here, okay? I'm an idiot sometimes, but I'm not an idiot all the time. And when it comes to this football team, I'm not an idiot. I know when they need to be praised. I know when they need to be criticized. You can make a lot of case for a lot of criticism for Sunday night's game. We all know that. I also know that I do not expect this team to win by 30 points every week. And because if they squeak out a game like this, when they're pretty banged up on defense, by the way, and not making excuses, but I'm saying that's part of it. That's part of the reason why. When your offense only has 44 snaps during the game and your other team has 82, and Vince Wilfork is out there for all of them except for special teams. I mean, that's unbelievable. So this happened. This is what makes a team great, is when you can play mediocre. I don't think they played horrible. I think they played mediocre. And you still pull out a game. You still made some plays when they needed to be made. It wasn't just all Tom Brady. It was obviously a big part of it. There's some other people involved in that win, which most of you know by now. We'll break it down again as much as I can over the next couple of hours. But I just don't, I mean, you look at, it's amazing to me, these people, nationally and locally, who point all the fingers at the Patriots because they win a game by 4 points. They never seem to point that same critical finger at all the other teams in the NFL. You know? They really don't. And all I'm saying is when you still look at the big picture today, December 21st, 2010, the best team in the NFL is the New England Patriots. They are not going to be denied, my friends. I'm telling you, I have seen it before. And I don't care that they only beat Green Bay by 4 points at home. It means diddly-poo to me. Nothing. I don't expect this team to win by 20. Now, if they play that way in a playoff game, are they going to win? No, I'm not saying that. I'm sure they're probably not. I mean, Bill Belichick had every right to criticize his team. I know for him it felt like a loss. I also know how he thinks about, you know, motivational tactics in his own way without coming out You know, he's not a Rex Ryan type. He's just going to fly off the handle. He obviously was upset. But there are things there that are going to be corrected, and that was first time in a while that we've seen them, you know, play kind of mediocre. And this is one of those things where, and I love when people say this, and they couldn't be more wrong, in my opinion, is when you say, well, they're so lucky Aaron Rodgers didn't play. That's crap. You don't know what, you know what? Maybe the worst thing that could have happened is if for the Packers, if Aaron Rodgers did play. Maybe the Patriots would have been more fired up. When you pretty much know that Matt Flynn is going to be your starting quarterback for the Packers, you can be the greatest professional, hardworking athlete all you want. It's going to kind of not fire you up as much as if one of the better players in the league and Aaron Rodgers is going to play. Seriously. Now, the other thing people screw up all the time and get it wrong, and I'm including a lot of media people in this too, is when they take an unknown like Matt Flynn, they see him come in against the Lions and doesn't do squat, and they think all of a sudden because of that one half of football or whatever it was, three quarters of football or two and a half quarters of football, that's the way it's going to be for the rest of his career. Wrong. If you know anything about Matt Flynn, you know he played in some gigantic games at Louisiana State, which I'm glad they brought up. Played the national championship game against Ohio State. This kid is not an idiot.
And played well.
He played well. And when you give any quarterback, I don't care how bad you think they are, you know, a week to prepare, why did anybody think he was going to come out and look like he did against the Detroit Lions? That's like saying the time Brady came in against the Detroit Lions back in 2000, Thanksgiving Day. If you just saw that performance, then you never give Tom Brady a second chance. He came in the fourth quarter when that game was well out of hand and was lousy. Then we didn't see him again until the next year after Drew got hurt. Came in against the Jets and did okay. You know, looked smooth out there. They still lost the game 10-3, I believe was the final score. But so, you can't. And then what happened when he had a week to prepare? Indianapolis, bye-bye. I think it was 44-14. And the rest is history, my friends. Now, I'm not saying Matt Flynn is that way. Aaron Rodgers is one of the better quarterbacks in the league. We all know that. But you can't come out and say, because Matt Flynn played so piss poor against Detroit and because he was forced in a very unique situation, that he was going to just throw up those kind of numbers against the Patriots. It's just the NFL doesn't work that way. These guys that get drafted for the most part for a reason. They're there for a reason. And most people probably didn't know who Matt Flynn was. You know, didn't know a lot about him. The guy's played his pretty big games at college. I know it's different, but the SEC is pretty close to the NFL. I'm kidding, of course. But, I mean, it's obviously the best conference in the country. And he played some big-time games. So I'm not surprised. The Patriots' defense did not play that well at all. Were they horrible, horrible? No, they weren't horrible, horrible. They just weren't. They weren't up to snuff. A lot of that had to do with because they're so banged up in the front. No spikes. You know, Mike Wright's still out. Will Fork's going to play every single snap. Just about. So, I'm not surprised. Merriweather did not have one of his better games, and he's been up and down all year. And he's one guy that I can understand because I am too frustrated with him a little bit sometimes. And you hear it. And the one thing I'll agree with some of my colleagues about is, you know, the way he takes angles on balls. All that stuff is all true. We know that. Then it comes up with some spectacular plays sometimes. So it's still a defense that's progressing. So Devin McCourty makes some good plays for the most part. Kyle Arrington, again, the pick six. I mean, overall, the whole body of work for the entire year, you've got to be, you know, pretty happy with what you're seeing with Patriots defense. You have to be. And again, I reiterate, obviously if they play, and I don't think they'll be this banged up in a playoff game, but obviously, they have to play better than they did on Sunday night to win a playoff game. We all know that. I also think you have to take into account the situation of the game, where they knew Rodgers wasn't coming in, and I'm not saying they took Matt Flynn for granted, but it's just not the same go get him revved up feeling as you're going to get. I'm sorry. And is there a tendency for a letdown sometimes after big blowout wins? Yeah, but I didn't expect this defensive line to be as banged up as they were going to this game either.
You have to take into consideration, too, Pete, that the level of desperation the Packers came in with, because they needed that game desperately.
Well, I'm going to get to that, and now they need it. Now this week they're Yeah. You know, they're fighting for their life. They have to win.
Because the Packers and the Patriots were in two completely different situations.
Completely.
Going into that game.
Very good point. Completely different. And you just got to – people just – it's not just a black or white issue every week, folks. And I'm talking to some of our media members, too. It's just not – it's some of these guys, it's just strictly pass or fail. It just doesn't work that way. I don't think that way when it comes to this team. I look at the entire body of work, all three phases of the game, things I like, things I didn't like. There were a lot of things I didn't like on Sunday. And you know what? But overall, I wasn't that surprised, considering how the game shaped up. With Rodgers being out and the Patriots having won 26 straight at home, they're blowing out teams. I mean, they're not going to put up 45 points every single game. I also know there was probably a very, very, very slim chance they were ever going to lose that game. I know it came down the end. It was mismanagement and Flynn at quarterback and all that stuff, but I can make cases the other way, too. Some questionable calls against the Patriots. By the way, the Patriots also uncharacteristically had some stupid, dumb penalties, which surprised me because I believe they've been the least penalized team all year on the NFL. Which for years and years and years, it was the Miami Dolphins trait with Don Shula, but that's not the case anymore. But so the Patriots, you know, kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit as well. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, they didn't have a good game. For them, they had a mediocre game. For a lot of other teams in the NFL, that would have been a good game, you know? But not for them. You know, they expect more, not so much the 31 points, which 24 of those were on offense, and obviously the pick six from Arrington on defense. But it was not a pretty sight for the most part on defense. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't like the worst defensive performance I've ever seen. But we all know they are capable of playing better than that, and they're going to play better than that. Now, what will happen this week, and I'm going to tell you right now, because the Buffalo Bills, despite having won 4 out of 6, and I know they're playing tougher, and Fitzpatrick, and all that stuff, and we're going to talk to Chris Brown of Bills Digest in the 5 o'clock hour, but they have only been – there's only been one time, I believe. Let me see. What are they? Where's my notes? Let's write it down. Patriots, you know, obviously beat the Bills 38-30 back in week two. Week three was right after the Jet loss. That game is completely irrelevant. It's a completely different team right now than it was back then. Last time Buffalo won was 31-0. We all remember that back in 2003, the Lawyer Malloy game. Patriots have won 14 straight there. And only one game in the last 7 in Buffalo has been decided by one score, and I think that was last year at 17-10. The rest of them, the last 6, 7 times, all Patriot blowouts. And even though the windy game with Castle in 2008, that was a 13-0 Patriot win. You know, that's kind of, it was like, you know, I don't think the Bills got to the 30-yard line in that game. But the Patriots have pretty much, 2007, we all remember the blowout, 56-10. The Patriots have owned the Bills in Buffalo. They have played them much better in Buffalo than they played in Foxborough recently. A couple of, you know, 25-24 when they squeaked out here. 38-30 wasn't exactly all that impressive at week three this year. But the Patriots have done, they have destroyed the Bills in Buffalo. They just own this team. And I promise you, this will be one of those games on Sunday where they pour it on, and they're going to pour it on. If they don't win this game by over 2 touchdowns, I'll be stunned. And I don't care how well Buffalo's played against Miami, and they've won 4 out of 6. It's irrelevant. I'm telling you right now that this Buffalo Bill team, and they'll play hard, and they're going to get beat. They're going to get beat badly. It's going to be double digits. It's going to be a minimum of 2 touchdowns for the Patriots. I can tell you that right now. I'll do my picks at the end of the show. But they own this team. The Bills have a horrible, if not the worst in football, horrible run defense, and they give up like 160 yards a game. And the way Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, the law firm, and Danny Woodhead combined are doing their jobs, it's going to be a long afternoon because they don't have any. And I'll tell you, it's going to be huge. You watch Gronkowski and Hernandez on Sunday. There's nobody on Buffalo that can stop them. Nobody. Nobody. Those guys are going to kick the crap out of them. This is one game. I am not worried about that at all. And then, you know, who knows? The Patriots win. And was it the Jets? The playoff scenario is if they to clinch home field. Patriots win, and what the Jets lose or tie or whatever, then they're going to get the home seed. We all know they're going to be the number one seed anyway. It's just a matter of time before it happens. But the big question is, you know, how many of the starters will play on January 2nd against Miami? That game can mean absolutely nothing, nothing at all to the Patriots. But first things first, take care of business here. You want to email me, it's webradio at patriots.com. I also have my Facebook page open as well. And just post something on my wall. I will try to read as many as I can. Don't send any private messages, please. Of course, you can call us. Call me here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. And as I was saying, it's the Ron Borgeses of the world who really who tick me off. And I know that the people who employ him at the Herald are like, okay, well, that's his job as a columnist. But it really isn't. It's not because it's not a ticked off like an edgy makes you think kind of a way, because it doesn't. It's not about that. You know, Will McDonough could do that, turn things around a little bit, make you kind of think. And I know at times I would get upset with some of the things he wrote, but he made me think a little bit. When I know for a fact that this other guy has got it so personally biased against Belichick and this team. So the couple of weeks a year that he does write little flowery things about him and goes on the radio and talks about how happy things are and all that stuff, you can see right through it. Because he waits, and he's not alone, waits for like situations like this where they actually win a game, but they don't win enough by his standards, or they don't, you know, because every team, you know, should win 38-10 every week. And it's just so contrived and so fake and phony, and it aggravates me. And personally, he can come on this show anytime he wants, and I'll debate him. Now, I can pull up articles here that would make anybody puke. You know, there's nothing. He really has no defense, because I'll pull up article after article after article where he was so god-awful wrong. And the hatred, it just came out. And all you have to do is go back to this year. Go back and look at Borges' articles after they let Moss go. Charlie Pierce and company, who were debating me on Facebook early today. Go back and look at those articles. That's just a few weeks ago. And then tell me if you think this guy is qualified to be fair and impartial regarding the Patriots. I'm sitting here telling you, I don't think they played great Sunday night. I'm also sitting here telling you that I'm not going to panic about it and go, it's not a strictly pass or fail thing. Are there stuff to be concerned? Of course there is. So is every other team that's fighting for the playoff spot in the NFL. A lot more serious problems than some other teams. Believe me. I made my plane reservations for Dallas. I got them. They're going. They're going to be there. They're going to be there. I do not say that lightly. They're going to be there. This is going to be a very, very difficult team to beat. Yes, I know they have to play better on defense than they did Sunday night. We all know that. Master of the obvious, as someone have put in the papers and broadcast nationally and locally the last couple of days. And this other BS about peaking too early again comes up. There's no such thing in sports. No such thing in sports as peaking too early. I don't buy it for a bit. Others may disagree, and that's fine. I don't buy you peaking too early. Not 1 second. It means nothing to me. And I said it last week after they crushed the Bears. I don't think this team has played as best as they can yet. I think their best football is yet to be played. How about that for going entirely the other way? How many people agree with that? I think they have more. I think they have better games ahead. And I'm not counting against Buffalo and Miami because they're going to kill these two teams. Well, I don't know about Miami. That game could be nothing, so who knows? You know, I don't know what that game is going to amount to. I don't know. I don't even know if Brady would start that game. My gut feeling tells me he absolutely will, because it's just not his nature for Bill to sit him out. I mean, he only play a half in that Miami game. If it means nothing, they have the home field racked up, and the Dolphins are going to be out of the playoff picture. Anyway, so I'm not worried about the Miami game. But they will come out firing this week. They will destroy the Bills in Buffalo. And just go back and just save the clippings and get a good laugh out of it week by week by some of the people locally and nationally. Absolutely hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. There's one thing I heard, very interesting thing I heard, Trent Dilfer, and a caller brought it up on one of the stations earlier today as I was driving in here. And I thought it was very interesting. It was a Trent Dilfer comment, and I think he's been one of ESPN's best analysts the last couple of years. I think he has turned the corner, so to speak. And not just because he has, you know, he's I think he's pretty fair and impartial when it comes to the Patriots. I mean, I think he gets it. I think he gets it for the most part for most teams in the league. And I believe he said the Patriots, in their first 27 plays against the Bears last week, had 27 different formations. He said he's never seen that before, which is unbelievable. Difficult, but unbelievable. If that is the case, and I have to go back and look at that. I know Mike Reese puts up those kind of numbers sometimes every Monday on his ESPN.com piece. I wonder if I could go back and maybe Kevin go back in the archives and see if that's true. Because Trent, that's an interesting point.
What was it one more time?
Trent Dilfer said on ESPN that on last Sunday against the Bears, the Patriots, the first 27 offensive plays had 27 different formations.
Okay.
So that's going to be that's very interesting. I know Mike breaks it down by player and how many plays he was actually out there, but that could be that is it's an interesting number if true. Excuse me, I'm sipping my tea. There's no coffee in here. But that's really all I have complained about is my fellow brethren in the media, a lot of them, you know, and some of the fans too. Not all. I think most people. I think the fans get it more, a lot more, than the media. Now, there's always that contingency of fans that overreact, and every game is the Super Bowl. But you just can't think that way in this league. And the problem is, you got to watch some of these other teams play. You got to watch them play on a regular basis. And if you don't have the Red Zone channel, even then, if you do have the Red Zone channel, it's not like you're seeing every single play, but you're seeing a lot of plays for a lot of these better teams. Now, who do you think has more issues, the Patriots or the Giants? How about New Orleans? Even Baltimore, despite their win. You know? Philadelphia, I mean, very impressive. Michael Vick was, again, very impressive, but, you know, he lost to the Bears, too, you know? So, I mean, the Eagles have issues. Atlanta has some issues. I mean, they're playing better, but, I mean, anybody playing against anybody from the NFC West, I mean, come on. That's an embarrassment, by the way. I tell you, I'm happy for Matt Castle in one way because I want to see him in the playoffs. That'd be great if he ever came back here somehow, some way. But I thought the Rams were going to come out firing because I really like what they did. Of course, they're still in first place at 6-8. Which is real sad. That's going to look real bad for this league if somebody wins that division at 7-9. It's happened a couple times at 8-8. Got in the playoffs. I think the Oilers got in 1 year at 8-8. I think the Jets got in 1 year at 8-8. I think the Seahawks won a division 1 year at 8-8, if I'm not mistaken, back in the 80s. But it just looks bad. I've never seen that. I know it's never happened, an NFL team winning a division with an under 500 record. Never happened. Forget making the playoffs. We're talking about winning the division. We're talking about winning the division. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a quick break, come back, and get right to these emails. And if you want to give me a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, feel free, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. It's the Pete Shepherd Show on patriots.com. When we come, also at 5 o'clock, Chris Brown joins us from Bill's Digest. That'll be in the 5 o'clock hour, by the way. Pete Shepherd Show, your email's coming up on patriots.com.
Pete Shepherd, the Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pabs! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at Patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Hi, we're back here at the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. How you doing? How you be? Here until 6 p.m. tonight. Get to a couple of these emails. Again, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline if you wish. 508-543-7482. Bill says, Pete, I've heard too much comparing this to the Philly game in 2007 in that this provides the blueprint of how to beat the Patriots. So right. In 2007, defense struggled. And the offense bailed them out at the end. Yesterday, eventually, the defense had to kick in. One can argue that Green Bay stopped themselves with clock mismanagement at the end, but the defense put them in a position to waste 20 or so seconds. Well, Bill, another good email. And you're right, this blueprint stuff has got to stop. That's another thing. Does anybody think that the Green Bay Packers studied film against the Cleveland Browns, and that's exactly what, you know, is that the same blueprint that happened? Let's see, Gronkowski didn't fumble a kickoff. They had, you know, a bunch of other things that happened in the Cleveland game that did not happen in this game. All right? Now, you can make a case that some of the rushing yardage was close, but that Cleveland game was a total debacle. This game was not. The Patriots won. They got killed in the Browns game, and rightly so, they got the butts whipped. Now, that's all you can say. It was their one blip of the year on the radar, you know, despite the Week 2 loss to the Jets, which they've had. One, they've had for the, you know, basically a game and a half of bad football, real bad football the whole year. Now, a lot of the times they've looked mediocre, but many times they've looked good to great. So, I think most teams would take, at this point in the season, after 14 games, a game and a half of bad football. Not too bad. Carlos on Facebook says, Pete, you are the man. I listen to you at work, on the podcast all the time. I'm in my car now. I'm on my way to Boston as we speak for the holidays. Well, that's great. Happy holidays to you. Have a Merry Christmas. Who would you like to see us face in the AFC Championship game? I'm thinking Jacksonville. Haha. If they get there. Thanks. I hope I get on the show. That would be awesome. Happy holidays. Happy holidays to you, Carlos. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All that kind of good stuff. They'll all be on before the New Year. So thanks for checking in on Facebook. I don't care who they face. I told you, I don't know who they're going to face. I really don't. See how it plays out the next couple of weeks. You know, who knows? I think when playoff time comes around, Patriots are going to have a nice, relaxing few days off. And they'll have the bye week, and they'll just let these other teams duke it out. I mean, it wouldn't surprise. I told you, the only team I do not want to face again is Indianapolis. I know they're banged up. I said it last week. They're the only team that I would have to put up a semi-warning flag because of Peyton Manning. Everybody else, I'm not all that scared about. Now,
the Colts suck.
Again, this is all contingent on, obviously, they're not going to play defense like they did on Sunday. If anybody thinks that's going to be the case, and what probably will be another month from now when they have a playoff game, because they're going to have 2 weeks next 2 weeks, and they're going to have the bye week, and they're going to have a playoff game. It's going to be basically a month before the first playoff game. So if anybody thinks their defense is going to play like that in a month because of one game on Sunday night, you're crazy. Not going to be that way. They'll be much healthier in a month, hopefully, and there'll be much more on the line. So I'm not worried about it, about who they play. Peyton Manning should always scare anybody in playoff time. He's the only one. And I'm not saying, obviously the Patriots will be, Patriots will be big favorites, probably. But I mean, Indianapolis is really banged up. But still, I mean, they find ways to win. And that was a hell of a win they had against Jacksonville on Sunday. Dave says, hey, Pete, I was at the game Sunday night and I couldn't help but compare it to the game against the Eagles back in the 2007 season. The Patriots were destroying every team they came up against, and everyone was predicting a Patriots blowout. They were playing at home against a backup quarterback, and the Pats went on to squeak out a win, and everyone was saying the Patriots aren't as good as we thought they were. Of course, the Pats went on to make it to the Super Bowl, and, well, we won't say what happened after that. Well, yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's because so many people, they try too hard to try and find these little blueprint scenarios. Most of them don't come to fruition. It's just a way of people trying to make stuff up. It's a copycat league. It's a copycat league. So all anyone has to do is watch the Packers and play the Patriots and they'll have the blueprint. It's such a crock of crap. It's so ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Amy says, Pete, love the show. I, too, worry about the Colts, as usual, but I'm also extremely concerned about the Ravens. What do you think? Yeah, I mean, I think you can be concerned about the Ravens. You know, you're going to have to play well against any of these teams. There's no days off. You can't have a lackluster performance like they did against Green Bay in the playoffs. I mean, and I just don't see that scenario happening. But, yeah, I mean, you should be concerned about the Ravens. I mean, again, Patriots beat them early on in the season, but it took in overtime and right down to the wire. You know, coming from 10 points behind. Defense played extremely well in that game. That was pretty early on in the season. That's when you started to see hints of what this defense could accomplish. So we'll see. So I'm looking at this thing. I talked about Trent Dilfert saying about 27 different offensive formations and 27 plays by the Patriots, the first 27 plays in the Chicago game. And I'm looking at Mike Reese's printout here. So, it could be. I mean, all he has here is the different formations that they used.
Yeah, I searched the archive, and yeah, I couldn't find anything that said tough. 27
but,
and 27.
But, I mean, because you can...
But you and I are used to seeing what I just handed you.
Exactly.
That's the normal thing he does for every week.
Exactly. No, he does a great job breaking it down.
Yeah, it's phenomenal
work. It's phenomenal. He's the only one that does it, believe it or not. He does a great job doing it. But that's a phenomenal. That's an unbelievable thing. If their Patriots are doing 27 different formations and 27 plays, that's enough to screw up anybody, obviously. Certainly screwed up the Bears. I think the Bills will be in for all they can handle this week with the Patriots. As usual in Buffalo, the Patriots dominate them there. And, you know, last year was only 17-10. I say only, but that game was well in hand. The game the year before was 13-0 in that windstorm with Castle. And the year before that was an absolute debacle, 56-10 Patriots. And, you know, the list goes on and on. They like I've said, it's only been one time in 7 years there that a game's been decided by under double digits. And I don't expect this one to be anything less than that.
Was that the David Patton knocked out on the sideline game, the close game?
No, that was 0-1.
That was 0-1.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember
the ball
him.
Attached to his foot.
Yeah.
This is after that. This is actually since that time.
Gotcha.
Since that time, the only time they've lost is
that's one of the memories that jumps out of my head about Buffalo.
Well, they don't win that game. Not only do they not, I mean, they needed that play. They don't win that game. They don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
The games that everybody forgets about. It's funny you bring up 2001 because last night on NFL Network they were showing that whole season again, which I have on DVD, but I love it anyway.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, forget the snowball games. Look at the couple of regular season games, and people also forget about the Tuck rule coming into effect against the Patriots where they played the Jets on the road, and the Vinny Testaverde thing. It happened against the Patriots. They call that rule against the Patriots. So that's why when it came up in the playoffs, you know, we had seen it before. A lot of people forgot about it because the Patriots came back and won that game in the Meadowlands that year, 17-16, and they were down 13-0, if I remember correctly. That was a great win. That win in the Buffalo, and those two wins that year by that 0-1 team were just spectacular. Maybe the two greatest regular season wins they had. They lost either one of those games. They don't even make the playoffs. Forget about the number one seed. They would have been out. But anyway, always nice to go down memory lane. 508-543-7482 is the number, 508-543-7482. Get in touch with me. Email me at webradio@patriots.com. You can also send me a message on Facebook and send it to my post it on my wall, and I will read it. Do not send any private messages. Back to the emails. Our pal Brooklyn Matt. Hey, what's the deal today? I tune in, and I'm hearing this imposter impersonating Pete Shepard. Where's my prickly Pete? Well, I don't think you heard the crossover with John Rook and I. All that I'm hearing is some pleasantly polite and kind-natured man sipping tea over there. Hogwash! That's not Pete! Kevin, call stadium security and have this faker removed and go find the real Pete. Hey, Pete, amp it up already. If you're content with the Patriots today, then fine. Pick something else to riff about then. I want to hear you spitting nails about something or other. Doesn't matter topic of your choice, be it Dale Earnhardt or whomever. I want to have to turn down my computer volume because you're so worked up. Hey! How's about the young saleswoman at the damn mall? That's
good news out of Orlando, Florida.
Not enough to get you going. I want some classic, Pete. Merry Christmas already. Same to you, Matt. Merry Christmas. Well, I guess you must have just tuned in, Matt. I just went on and on and on about.
It'll be John Halama on the mound against El Duque.
I just went on and on about my feelings for some of the local scribes and reporters, locally and nationally, particularly Borges, who I hate to even mention his name because I give him more publicity than the man deserves, about his fake, phony contrarianism. And just go back and read what he has written this year. It is laughable as he's formed, once again, the wrong conclusions. And then he writes the glowing articles the last couple of weeks. And then he waits, you know, like a fly drawn to crap and waits for a sexy win for him to get all over him again. So, I mean, I was ranting about that and a lot of other things. So I don't know, Brooklyn Matt, if you will, but trust me, there'll be more ranting and raving coming. I'm just trying to say, people, this is not, in this league, it is not a strictly pass or fail situation, particularly with this Patriot team. Look at the overall body of work, not just for the season, every single game. They won the game. I'm sorry if it wasn't sexy enough for some of you out there. It happens in the NFL. That's why this league is so great. Carmen is in Canada joining me on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Carmen.
Hello, Pete.
Hello, Carmen.
And Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners.
Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Well, I did hear Trent Dilford say that there was 27 formations for the Patriots there. I think that was the night they won.
Yeah, it was against the Bears, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And this weekend I was hoping that the Bears and the Giants could win. I thought they would, actually, but their play, I just feel they're just frauds.
Who is?
The Bears and the Giants.
Oh, well, you know, the Giants are a very difficult team to figure out. But the Bears are total frauds. And I don't care what they did last night to that pathetic Minnesota Viking team. It doesn't mean anything to me. No, I don't think the Bears go anywhere. I don't think Cutler leads any Bear team to the Super Bowl. I just don't think it's going to happen. You know, I don't think it's going to happen. Now, they played okay last night, obviously, against that awful Minnesota team. But they are not. To me, they are nowhere near an Atlantis class in the NFC. And I think Green Bay with a healthy Aaron Rodgers is better than them.
Well, but they did beat them.
They did beat them. I think the Bears did beat the Packers earlier this year, believe it or not. But I still think with a healthy Aaron Rodgers late in the season, I think the Packers would be better. I'm just not sold on the Bears at all. I do think they're frauds.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks. Steve. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks.
North of the border, there, Pete.
Hey, how you doing? Speaking of north of the border. Bruins. Yeah.
Our good buddy Rene Rancourt.
Yes, he is. He is the best. That's a guy. It was one guy who's very fascinating.
He sang the anthem for the Jets game, the Monday Night Football game here.
That's right.
Yeah, we brought him. Brought in the big gun.
Yeah, nice.
The fist pump.
You got to do it. You got to do it. He is one of the greatest guys of all time. Great guy. Bruins, by the way, better get it in gear quickly, or Mr. Claude is going to be out of job.
I read that you were not happy with the Bruins.
No, I was not happy. No, you can't be, you know.
Underachieving.
You can't be. Totally underachieving. And they got to play in Atlanta, I think, tomorrow night or in two nights, whatever it is.
They're going on like a four-game road trip. Yeah. That's going to tell them a lot about where they're going.
Yeah, well, I think Claude's in trouble. I think he's got about 3 days to get his acting gear with that team. They're too talented. Anyway, back to the Patriots. So we get ready for the Buffalo Bills again. Chris Brown, Bills Digest, will join me in the 5 o'clock hour. Until then, we're taking your phone calls. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. But getting back to my whole premise of this, the overreaction, and I do think it's more media than fan. I think media does it to try and fake you out. They really, you know, because everybody's trying to out-entertain one another in the media, in the business, particularly on television. They have to come up with all these theories. I mean, they have to do something. They have to come up with, you know, the blueprint theory, and you know the Patriots defense. You know now, they're fraudulent. They're not as good as we've seen the last 2 weeks. You know, maybe they're reverting back to what they were. I mean, it's all this stuff that is just, for me, it sounds like some of it's just made up to try and get viewership and. People buy newspapers, which I know a lot of this business, that's what it's all about. It really is. Sometimes it's not more, sometimes it's much more substance over fact. My feeling, as I've said time and time again regarding this team all year long, I have seen a progression here. I thought back, and like I said, you don't know anything about most of these teams until around Thanksgiving or the week after, right around there. You really start to get a feel about any NFL team. And you have to be happy with the entire body of work of this Patriot team. I don't know how you can't. Ken on Facebook says, Pete, what the hell are these people bitching about? 4 points or 40 points? A win is a win in the NFL. Merry Christmas. I have a good pal, Kenny Tens. Great poker players of the South Shore of Massachusetts. But you're right, Kenny. And the problem is sometimes, I think around here too, we have been spoiled over the years. And I get really upset when people think that because they don't win by double digits every week, that something is wrong. That's not the case. Nobody does that in the NFL, except for the Patriots in 07. And like I said last week, you know, I remember last year, you know, I remember in 07 after the Eagles game and after the Baltimore game, you know, and then people were talking about the lack of offense in the playoffs. Well, you can't compare the lack of offense in the playoffs to what happened in the regular season. And I'm making it because I think the same thing could happen this year. The Patriots had opportunities back in 2007 to control the clock because they were ahead, again, by double digits. Not by 40, but they were ahead by double digits. That's, even though they only beat San Diego by 9, they were ahead at one point, I think by over double digits. They certainly were against Jacksonville. But those two games when Lawrence Maroney came out and played his best. He single-handedly, along with the great blocking of the offensive line, they control the clock. I told you, go back and look at those playoff games. They were unbelievable running the football. There was no need for them being up by double digits to start chucking it down the field. So all of a sudden, because people, I heard last week people saying, well, yeah, it started with Philadelphia, then Baltimore, and then it translated and transcended into the playoff games. No, it didn't. The playoff games were totally different. The way the game was going, you didn't need to get in a shootout with those teams. And most times in the NFL, you don't have shootouts in the playoffs. Very rarely does it happen. Had that one time years ago in the 90s with Buffalo and Houston, the old Oilers, 5-3 deficit, and Buffalo came back and won. But those are far and few between. You don't see blowouts like that anymore. You don't see shootouts like that a lot in NFL playoffs. Sometimes it happens occasionally, but not a lot. Because one team usually takes control of the game, and like the Patriots did in 07, and can run the clock out for most of those games. And then they say, well, you know, they score 38 in the regular season against the Giants. And then people always forget that they score, put up 38 against the Giants in the regular season finale. They always leave that out. Again, because some of it happened in the fourth quarter, so it didn't count as much, which always baffled me, too, when they were behind. Who cares? They got the 38. And in the Super Bowl, we all know what happened. I mean, it took a miracle play, a miracle semi-no call on what could have been a sack by Jarvis Green, a miracle catch by Tyree. With the Patriots, with the lead, by the way, and with the Patriot defense that allowed, you know, only 17 points, which was, you know, 0.6 below what they averaged for the entire year. People forget that, too. They still had the lead with a minute to go in that game, or a minute and a half to go, whatever it was. Took a couple of miracle plays for them not to win that game, but it happened. It's not sour grapes. Giants deserved it. They played well. And we moved on. But you can't regular season statistics, very rarely do they transcend into the playoffs. They carry over. It's not going to happen. Probably not going to happen. Tracy Hall says, I think some of the talking heads are gamblers. They get bigger payoff if they're the one voice that makes the outlandish claim that comes true, then they say the obvious. And if they're wrong, the crazy statement is ignored. Bigger payout with the longer odds. And Tracy, I think you're right a lot of times. And a lot of times you hear, a lot of times it is the gamblers who, you know, they unload on the Patriots for a couple of games, and it's a big 14-point spread, you know, like it was the other night, and they lose, and they get upset. You're right, Tracy. That is a big part of it. There's no question about it. That is a big part of it. But that's why the NFL is a very unpredictable league. And if you're going for big-time jelly beans against some of these teams every week, good luck to you. I mean, you saw what happened. You know, the Jacksonville game against Indianapolis the other day, Sunday. You know? That's a four-point line. Onside kick, touchdown. Colts win by 10. Giants-Eagles game. You know? But people, that's what happens. People let their emotions sometimes, because of the gambling, overtake the reality of the situation, which you can't let happen. You just can't, because one, they're totally different scenarios. Teams don't care what the lines are. They don't care. It doesn't matter. And that's why when you don't know, you take an unknown like a Matt Flynn, and you put him out there in a regular season game. If you don't know that he played in some huge games at LSU, and because you see him in, you know, a couple of quarters in a game against Detroit with no prep time at all, and he looks like crap, and people think that's going to carry over into the next game, that's not the way the league works. It just isn't. It's happened. That scenario has happened time and time again over the course of time. There's so much parity in the NFL. That's why it's the best league in sports. You really have to play well on any given Sunday, or you can lose. Patriots, Eagles, Giants, doesn't matter. If you don't play well, what will happen for the Patriots? Like what happened with Cleveland, against Cleveland, and what almost happened against Green Bay. Although I still think they played much better against Green Bay than they did Cleveland. Don't even think it was close. They came up with some big plays against Green Bay. They did nothing against Cleveland. That was their one brain fart of the year. And most teams have more than one. They had one. So, again, it's not simply a black or white pass or fail issue with this team if they don't win a game by double digits. Nobody does it. Back to the emails. Let me see where this is from first. It's a nice one. It's a long one. Tiff. Peyton Manning is 9-9 in the postseason, which means he is average in the postseason. I would rather play Peyton in postseason than in the regular season. The guy just isn't that good in the playoffs. I also agree that this is a blueprint for how you beat the Patriots memo is annoying and overrated. There's been a blueprint for how the Pats since week two, hasn't it? Why didn't the Ravens and Chargers use it? A win is a win, and thank God we have a coach who doesn't treat a tough win like a Super Bowl win, kind of like a big mouth jerk in New York City. Yeah, you're so right. You are right. But, look, Peyton Manning, yes, he's 9-9 in the playoffs. He's also had some pretty good success over the last 6 years against the Patriots. Obviously, the Patriots won this year, but Peyton still had some success, even though he threw through picks in that game. He's still, all I'm saying is, and with the way the Colts are banged up, he's still the one guy, Tiff, that I would not want to see again. I can take Phillip Rivers. I can handle Flacco. I do not want to take my chances with Peyton Manning. I just don't. I think the Patriots can obviously win the game. They'll be big favorites no matter who they play here. Colts, no Colts. They're going to be big favorites here no matter who they play in every game. But I don't want to see him again. I just don't. But you never know. You never know. And I thought the Jets would continue their psychological damage. They had a kickoff return for a touchdown. And the Steelers, without Polamalu, as usual, don't play that well. I think now they're 5-7 when he doesn't play. Heath Miller didn't play. Steelers didn't look all that good. Looked good at times. They still shouldn't have lost that game. Even despite all that stuff, Steelers had no business losing that game. So how good are the Steelers? How good are the Steelers? I mean, the Jets scored, one offensive touchdown in that game, and the Steelers can't win because Polamalu didn't play and Heath Miller's out. That was lame. Gene in Daytona says, "Hi, Pete and Kevin. Isn't the Herald owned by a New York-based corporation? I believe so. That group might have the best interests of the Patriots in mind. Shouldn't they really be called the New York Herald Boston branch? Let's not forget them printing up 2007 Super Bowl T-shirts ahead of time and linking it to the Giants and the media before the game. I saw those shirts on one of those travel channels in Costa Rica. I do remember that. Do you think it's wise for the Patriots fans to buy that paper or even listen to them? Why are we supporting people who want to see us fail? Love the show. Love your work." I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure about the Herald. I mean, we all know the Globe is owned by the New York Times. We know that. I'm not sure the Herald. I don't buy that, though. I don't think the Herald wants to see the Patriots fail. I'm not ready to go that far yet. I do think Borges does. I have no doubt in my mind that he does. There's no question about it. It's been too personal way too long. But he'll have to live with that because he's been wrong 99.9% of the time for the last 10 years covering this team. All right, joining me right now on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482, Chris Brown of the Bills Digest. Hi, Chris. Thanks for taking a few minutes here on the Pete Shepard Show. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Well, interesting game coming up again this weekend for the Patriots and Buffalo Bills. I mean, the Bills have won 4 out of 6. They've lost a lot of tough games this year. They could easily be 7-7 with a play here or a play there. But what's been the biggest turnaround for this team the last 4 or 5 weeks that you've seen?
I think the defense has kind of come around a little bit. They're by no means world beaters, but you know, this is a team that's been ranked last against the run, and they still are. But, since the midway point of the season, they've hacked 50 yards off of those rushing yards allowed per game. And, again, 132 yards against doesn't look pretty, but it looks significantly better, you know, knowing it used to be 182. So I think they've tightened things up a little bit run defense-wise, and their pass rush has been more consistent, too, with the emergence of rookie sixth-round pick Arthur Motes, who's got 2.5 sacks in his.
He's been terrific.
He's done well.
Yeah. Are you surprised that, you know, despite the way the Bills started and some of the close losses and everything, are you surprised that Chan Gayle was able to kind of hold on to this team? They haven't quit on him, that's for sure. I'm kind of surprised. I was actually quite shocked that the ghost of Dick Geron didn't take over.
Yeah, I think Chan's biggest task taking on this job was, eliminating the losing culture that's existed here for the better part of the last 10 years and, you know, was kind of allowed to fester somewhat under Dick Duran, who put a little too much faith in his players to, you know, police themselves, you know, in their daily routine. And Shane Gailey's has taken a far more no-nonsense approach, demanded more of them, and has been on top of them, you know, throughout this whole season. But I really think that that was sorely needed for this team. And, you know, he's a guy that hasn't won big in his coaching career, but he's always won more than he's lost. And I think, you know, there was some respect for that, and they've done everything that he's asked, and now they're finally seeing the ultimate dividends, those being wins, you know, winning four of their last six.
Got to give a lot of credit, I think, too, to Ryan Fitzpatrick. A lot of people around, you know, the New England area know him, coming from Harvard and all that stuff. I think a lot of people try to follow him. They want to see him do well, obviously not against the Patriots. But, you know, without Lee Evans, without Roscoe Parrish, I mean, he's hung in there pretty good. I know Johnson's kind of reemerged a little bit. He's catching a lot of balls for the Bills. But it's not exactly, you know, a great receiving core that the Bills have. I think he's been pretty consistent the last month or so.
Certainly has. I mean, Fitzpatrick has just been really kind of the – it's hard to argue that he's the MVP of the football team this year. And you say, oh, well, what do you expect? He's a quarterback. When you think about the dearth of talent and the lack of leadership that this team has had at the quarterback position since Jim Kelly retired in 1997, you know, this team's been starved for that. So to get it in the form of a guy where it wasn't necessarily expected – has been welcomed with open arms. And, you know, Fitzpatrick plays with a lot of moxie. And I think a lot of people in Buffalo, which is still largely known as a blue-collar city, have gravitated to that. And I think they respect the guy that does more with less. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't have a rocket arm. You know, he can run around and get away from trouble, but his intelligence is what gets him by, and he's not afraid to take a chance. I mean, the guy has a little bit of a gunslinger mentality, and if you look at his two touchdown passes from last week's game, 90% of the quarterbacks in this league wouldn't even think about throwing those. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about windows, you know, that really aren't bigger than, you know, the circumference of a basketball, and he sticks them both in there for touchdown passes. So he's really kind of given this offense the spark that it sorely needed, because points have been hard to come by the last 5-6 years, and he's put points on the board for this team, and he and Shane Gailey have been a pretty good combination this year.
Well, an interesting trend with these two teams. I mean, the Patriots have won the last 14, but since 02, the Bills have played the Patriots so tough up here in so many games. But when it comes to the Patriots going on the road to Buffalo, for the most part, they've had a pretty easy time of it, which is really shocking, because Buffalo can be, especially late in the year, an extremely difficult place to play. I've always found that to be one of the more fascinating trends in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, everybody remembers that Sunday night disaster, you know, 56-10 a couple of years ago. But, you know, you look at the last few games, whether you want to go back to the Monday night opener when the Bills are up 11, you know, and end up blowing the game and losing by one, to last year's second meeting between these two teams, which finished 17-10.
Yeah.
You know, they played them pretty tight, or at least tighter than most, and I just think it's based on familiarity, to be honest. I mean, this is a team that doesn't walk onto the field, and they're not in awe of Tom Brady and that offense. And so I think the familiarity really kind of helps them. And, you know, they're not even talking about that 14-game streak. The media constantly asks them about it.
Yeah.
But I think they've just kind of moved past that whole thing and pushed it out of their head and said, hey, this is just one game. Let's see if we can win it.
No, what I'm saying is, I mean, and you understand, that's what I'm saying, the Bills have played them so tough here, but, you know, only one time in the last 7 or 8 years has a game been under double digits for, you know, the Patriots have won every game, but they've won only one time has it been under one score. And I've always found it, you know, even though it wasn't 56-10 every year, I mean, they've done a pretty good job playing in Buffalo and there are some, in that condition. There's not a lot of teams that can go to Buffalo late in the year and win. But for whatever reason, the Patriots have had their number. I mean, it'll come to an end, like everything does in sports at some point. But
right.
I don't think
unaffected by the weather too, don't you think? I mean,
exactly.
Patriots are totally unaffected by the weather.
No, they thrive in it. They thrive in it, unlike any other team I've ever seen. And you know, to be honest with you, I don't expect the trend to end this week. I think they have a lot to prove after the lackluster kind of performance against the Packers on Sunday night. But I don't expect the Bills to lay down at all. by any means. I think they'll fight. I think they'll fight to the end. But I just not. I'm not sure. Unfortunately, I think they're going to catch the Patriots at a bad time because they're going to be ticked off going into that game on Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Right, and they certainly still have home field advantage to play for. Yeah. So there's that. Also, I mean, this isn't a throwaway game for them by any means. Not that Belichick ever really lets them ease off the gas pedal anyway. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think at best, you know, maybe the Bills keep it to a 10-point game, something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have played some of the better teams in the league pretty tough, but I just don't see it happening against. I mean, the Patriots are a juggernaut here offensively, let's be honest, and the Bills' defense still isn't where it needs to be. So that's probably going to ultimately be their undoing.
They've had so many. The Bills really have had some incredibly tough losses. The Bears, we remember the Steeler game, which a lot of us saw running, and that was the one that was just a heartbreaker. I mean, even Kansas. I mean, they've lost us three. They lose to Baltimore, they lose to Kansas City, Chicago, and the Steelers. Three of those four in overtime. I mean, they win those.
Yeah,
they win
3 points.
They win four of those games. They could have easily won all four of those games and been right in the thick of this wild card hunt.
And those are all division leaders right now, mm-hmm. or at least Baltimore is like right there with Pittsburgh, but. You know, they're all, like, at the top of their division. We're not talking about, you know, the Sisters of the Poor here that, you know, they're competing with. They're usually beating those teams, like the Cincinnati's and the Detroit's and the Cleveland's. Those are the teams they're beating. They're just not there yet from a talent perspective to, you know, compete with the upper echelon of the NFL. I mean, they're doing more with less, but it's just not enough to get those wins on a consistent basis.
Well, one aspect of the game when these two teams play that Bill Belichick cannot emphasize enough, and he already has about a million times this week already, or will by the end of the week, is, you know, special teams, and particularly kickoff returner. You know, if it's not C.J. Spiller, it's somebody. I mean, they have really – Spiller, by the way, you remember, ran one back against the Patriots already this year once. But the Bills special teams are always some of the best in the league.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of going through a bit of a transition here. You know, now that Bobby April's in Philadelphia and they have Bruce DeHaven back, you know, who was last here, you know, during the Marv Levy years. So there is a little bit of an adjustment there because April was just so aggressive, willing to try anything, push the envelope at every turn. And DeHaven's the complete opposite. He's very conservative, plays things, close to the vest, doesn't get real creative. And I think it's been an adjustment for some of these guys. So, you know, they're not really at the top of the league and, you know, the main four rankings, you know, net punting and punt coverage and punt return and kick return and those things. They're kind of middle of the road right now. And I think, they did have some turnover as most special teams units do with young players coming in. And, it's been an adjustment for them. So they're not upper echelon like they have been for the past 6-7 years. They're somewhere, you know, in the middle of the pack right now. And I think they realize they got to get better in that area because more often than not, they're not helping the offense enough in terms of field position.
You talked about Arthur Motes, outside linebacker, before. He's playing very well the last 5, 6, 7 games. Numbers back it up to prove it. And I've seen him with the Red Zone Channel, see him a lot when he's on. And he's done a terrific job. But who else on defense is really got it going here the last month for the Bills?
Jarris Byrd has played a lot better. He doesn't have the interception numbers that he had last year when he made the Pro Bowl as a rookie, leading the league with 9. But he's been around the ball a lot more from that free safety position, and he's been forcing fumbles more than he's been intercepting the football. So I think he's played well over this past month or so defensively. Paz is always in the thick of it, but, I mean, Kyle Williams is really the defensive MVP this year. I mean, the guy, you know, steps into that nose tackle role. He's about 6'2" and only about 305 pounds. This guy isn't going to stand in there and grind, but he's going to be passed in the blink of an eye. And he leads this team in tackles for loss, leads the team in sacks, leads the league in tackles by defensive tackles. If he doesn't go to the Pro Bowl, it'd be a shame. And I know it's hard to say, hey, the guy's on the last-ranked run defense in the NFL. How can you send him to a Pro Bowl? You watch this kid play, and you'll change your mind real fast. I mean, he really has had a Pro Bowl season and clearly the defensive MVP.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot for taking a few minutes. It should be, it's probably going to be a very interesting game for a little while out in Buffalo, and Patriots finally get to play a 1 o'clock game for once, which is refreshing for a lot of us around here.
But I hope you guys on deadline a little bit, huh?
But it'll be interesting. What's the any word on the long-range forecast for Sunday yet?
No, I mean, there might be a little snow, but it's not supposed to be anything significant. I mean, we're getting, you know, this time of year, we get an inch here, an inch there, and, you know, it can obviously change between now and Sunday. They say Western New York weather changes in a minute, but nothing outlandish is expected this weekend.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot. Best of luck the rest of the year, and we'll talk to you again down the line. Thanks again.
All right, take care now.
Thanks. Chris Brown of Bill's Digest joining me here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Again, take a quick break. Here on Patriots.com, the Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio at Patriots.com. My Facebook page is open as well. I get to as many of those as I can. And when we come back, more calls, more emails here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at Patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge.
So, Pat, how many advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What? If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
All right, back here on Patriots.com. It is the Pete Shepherd Show. My picks are coming up. I looked at my picks from last week. Oh, my goodness. It doesn't get worse than that. Now, granted, a lot of them were last second, came down to the wire. But, oh, my God, I think it was like 2-14. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I lost like 4 or 5 of them down the stretch within like the last play or two. But, oh, my goodness, I got to come back strong this week. And my crack staff has been at it. We'll do my picks in just a little bit. Anyway, you can email me, webradio@patriots.com, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. And let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline right now and check in with Eddie in Boston. Eddie!
Pete!
What's up, man?
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, Eddie. I've been a fan since you were in the WEI.
Thank you, appreciate it. Thanks for checking in.
I must say, I definitely agree with you on the Indianapolis Colts. I definitely don't want to see them in the playoffs. Cause mm-hmm. Peyton Manning's one hell of a quarterback, regardless of who's playing for that team.
No, you're right. I mean, look, they have to, no matter who they play in the playoffs, any team, this goes for any team, by the way. Now, if you don't play well, for the most part, you're going to lose, you know. But if you're asking me if there's one player I don't want to see, I'd rather not see. Not that I don't. I'd rather not see a second time. It'd be Peyton Manning.
Yeah, absolutely. And two more quick points, if I can.
Yeah, sure.
One other thing is with the Red Zone channel. I know you love it.
Love it. Love it.
I love it too. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
You get to appreciate Tom Brady and Bill Belichick more because you see these games, you see the quarterbacks that are playing out there, and the coaches and like the decisions that they make, and it's like, oh man, you know, you definitely Tom Brady and Bill Belichick were definitely spoiled with them too.
No, you're right. You make a good point, and you do see a lot of it, particularly down in the fourth quarter, clock management. You know, plays that are called, you really do see how far ahead the Patriots are and how they outthink you down the stretch. And you know, you saw an example of that a little bit on Sunday night. Matt Flynn had no idea what to do with 35 seconds to go in that game. No idea. That would never happen if Matt Castle, towards the end of the season, if you remember, how well he was playing. And it was that never would have happened to Matt Castle in Week 14 back in the day, a couple of years ago when he was here. Now, Matt Flynn, I mean, I know he's only been there his first week of playing, but I'm just stunned that you can be that lost with 34 seconds to go. He had no idea what to do.
No, absolutely, and you can tell. If somebody would have had that play called, he would have had something going on. He would have known if it was fourth and one.
Well, I'm not even so much talking about Brady. I'm talking about Matt Castle like that year who was a backup, and I know he had played a little bit more, obviously, than Flynn did, but still, I mean, he had a week to practice. I know it's not a lot. I know you're not experienced in the NFL, but that kind of stuff, he looked like a high school quarterback in that play. It's the only time he looked really out of sorts was that last, the most important part of the game, the last 20, 30 seconds, and unfortunately, it cost him the game.
Yeah, now do you think that's more coaching, or is that more just Flynn just not having the experience?
Well, I think it's both. I mean, I don't know that, again, I don't know if he couldn't hear him in his headset. I don't know if he didn't understand the play being called or what, but the bottom line is you can't just let, you know, 25 seconds waste off the clock while, you know, you're at first and goal, and at the end of the game, Bantakane sacks him. So, I mean, it just, they were totally discombobulated.
I definitely agree. And then just one last thing. It's definitely Tom Brady for MVP, and it's, I haven't heard it too much, but Coach Belichick should be the coach of the year as well, because who else, what team was supposed to be, you know, not as good as it was supposed to be?
No, and thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I think Bill will be highly considered. I think Brady, there's no question that Brady is the MVP. And during the break, you know,
despite what your buddy thinks,
Jemele Hill, my favorite, you know, she likes to play the race card all the time, even though she's made racist remarks over her career, and I brought them up a couple weeks ago. But she's sitting there trying to debate with Jackie McMullen who the best quarterback is. Obviously, she takes Michael Vick, and Jackie just pounded her with the Tom Brady of
pounded her with
facts and information instead of emotional blathering that Jemele Hill usually brings up without any fact. Unbelievable. So that was nice to see. Jackie just, I mean, totally. It was like having a mallet and just pounded her to oblivion. Very nice to see. The Patriots 31-27 win over the Packers on NBC Sunday Night Football on December 19th. Through the third highest regular season local ratings in franchise history with a 42.6 household rating in the Boston market. Over a million people tuned in to Channel 7 in the local market to watch New England improve to 12-2. Patriots-Packers game was the highest-rated game of the year in the local market, topping the Patriots' December 6th win over the Jets, believe it or not. That's kind of surprising, which had previously set the mark for the third highest regular season local ratings in history. Sunday night's game was only surpassed by the Pats' December 29th, 07 win over the Giants. That completed the only 60-0 regular season in NFL history, and that's when every single station was carrying the game that year. I can't read. Oh, back on the AT&T hotline?
No, I was just going to say, if you wanted to take a listen to Chad O'Shea from earlier today.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's do that. Oh, this is, wait, let me set, hang on a second, Kev. Let me set this up. Most people don't know who Chad O'Shea, a lot of people probably won't know who he is. It's the Patriots wide receivers coach, and this is from a conference call earlier today. I think it's pretty interesting. He's answered some questions on guys like Taylor Price and some other things. So this might be it's worth a listen because it's somebody that you don't hear too much from. So here he is.
Doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for taking the time. Just to sort of start with your thoughts on, I'm curious your thoughts as to Deion Branch and his performance since joining the team.
Deion's done a great job for us. He's brought a lot of professionalism. He's brought work ethic. He's brought leadership to our wide receiver group. He's executed on game day, and he's worked extremely hard to do so every week.
Jed, it seems the Packers did some things to kind of take Deion and Wes a little bit too, but to take Deion out of the game, getting physical maybe more than he's seen. Is that what you saw they did, and is that maybe kind of a challenge for him?
Every week I think there's different challenges that you have. One of which for us is, you know, regardless of who we play, it's our job to go out there and execute within our game plan, to execute within the role we're asked. And different defensive backs play different styles. We have to be prepared for all styles, which I think we do during the week. And they're definitely aware that they have to go out there on game day and just execute.
Right, so what specifically did the Packers defensive backs do? Because, you know, obviously it's a copycat league, and I'm wondering if whatever they did, maybe future opponents will look and say, all right, that's what we can do.
Yeah, I mean, right now we're moving on. It's more important for us right now to know, you know, how the Buffalo Bills are going to play us. And that's where our focus is right now, is on the Buffalo Bills. We've already moved on from the Packers game. We've evaluated that with our players. We've corrected the things that we need to correct, and we've moved on. We're moving on to the Buffalo Bills.
Chad, and looking at a player like Wes Welker, does he look like a guy who would have had the off season he had in terms of the surgery and everything that he's done to get himself back to where he is? Does he look like the guy that you've always known and seen, and how does he look at this point in the season?
Wes has done a great job. I mean, he's worked extremely hard to get to where he is right now with the injury in the off season. It's not something we even mention anymore. It's not a factor. Wes Welker is Wes Welker right now. He's playing at a high level. There's some things that he knows he needs to improve on, just like all our players right now need to improve on. And, you know, I'm excited that Wes Welker's on our team, and I'm excited he's had a chance to be with us the entire year.
Chad, how would you assess the season Julian Edelman has had as a receiver? He seems to be struggling a bit catching the football.
I think that, you know, when you look at where we are this season with all our players, there's specific things that we all need to work on right now, you know, whether it was in the previous game or whether it was through the last several weeks of the season. There's things we all need to improve on, both as players and coaches, and that's what we're striving to do every day, is just to go out there and get better and work on those things which, you know, we need to improve on.
But what specifically to Julian is he trying to work on?
You know, Julian has had some drops during his last couple times out. I know he's going to work real hard to try to correct that and specifically catch the ball, which I know he will work hard to do so.
Is it like a concentration issue, focus? Can you have you picked up anything like that in terms of what's happening with him?
Yeah, I mean, we always say here, and Coach Belichick's the first to say it, is our job as receivers is to get open and catch the ball. And however we do that, we need to catch the ball. So regardless of what the reason is we dropped it, we need to go out there, correct the mistakes. Julian will work hard to do so, just as all our receivers will work hard to catch the ball and get open every week.
Chad, I'm curious. I know you guys did some in camp, but do you still work with Aaron Hernandez some in your position group? And if you do, have you seen him? What strides have you seen him make kind of throughout the year?
I think with all our young players, regardless if it's Aaron Hernandez that we have on the Patriots, I've seen a lot of improvement on all of them. It's always just, is with all our players, everything's a work in progress. Aaron's made a lot of improvement. I don't work with Aaron because he's a tight end right now, and I work with the wide receivers. But he has made a lot of improvement, just as all our players have right now.
Chad, specific to Sunday's game against the Bills, what coverage do you see that they play predominantly that your receivers will be?
You know, they play just as everybody does. I think we have to be ready for a variety of things. We go through our normal scouting process during the week on the previous games that we've seen, and we also try to anticipate how they will play us. And we look at our last game. We look at every game. So we anticipate everything that they could do, and we try to have a plan for everything.
Yeah, before you go, Taylor Price, there's some interest with him based on being a third-round pick from those who follow the team. Tough to sort of evaluate him from our perspective because he hasn't played. What do you see behind the scenes from him, and what is he doing to get better?
Yeah, but behind the scenes, Taylor is working extremely hard right now. He's doing what we ask him to do, and that is to go to practice and try to get better every day. That's what he's done. He has some great receivers, in my opinion, in front of him that he can learn from. And if he does so, he'll continue to progress. And all we ask of him is to keep working hard, and I think he has worked hard.
Thanks, Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right, Patriots and wide receivers coach Chad O'Shea earlier today in a conference call answering some interesting questions. And, you know, Julian Edelman has been sort of an enigma this year. Again, the sophomore slump type of thing. I mean, he's had moments at times more as a kick returner than a receiver, but you kind of get this feeling that his day is coming. I don't know why, but he's going to have his day as he had a couple last year. I just think, you know, with the addition of the tight ends the Patriots have this year, Gronkowski, Hernandez, and Algie Crumpler, I think it's a little more difficult for him to kind of get in there and, you know, for Brady to get on the ball as much as he did last year because he didn't have that tight end option. But I think Edelman's got to have his day. Don't forget my picks coming up in just a little bit. Tiffany says, one more thing. Don't you think Copycat League is just as overhyped and overrated as the blueprint for how to beat the Patriots argument? Yeah, I do. I really do. And people throw out Copycat League and Blueprint, and I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it because how many times...
That's being a jackass.
Exactly. How many times does it actually come to fruition for any team? Not just the Patriots. But you'd have to show me some kind of a chart. Every team, this so-called copycat league that affects the Patriots. You know? It obviously wasn't the Cleveland Browns, right? Because everybody was pretty much disastrous trying to defend the Patriots after that. The Green Bay Packers get filmed from Cleveland, and did that game plan at all? The way that game turned out in Cleveland, did that in any way, shape, or form? Is that the way how the game turned out Sunday night against Green Bay? No, not even close. Not even close. Patriots didn't play well against the Browns that day, and a big, you know, and it came down to really three or four plays. One was that Gronkowski fumble on the kickoff, which was huge. Put them in a big hole early. You know, who knows? Patriots don't get the ball there and score and take the lead there. Who knows what happened? Or tie the game. Who knows what happens? But they didn't. They deserve to lose. They got their butts kicked. But that game, in no way, shape, or form, had anything at all to do with what happened for the Green Bay Packer game. It just didn't. The personnel was different. A lot of things were different. So I just don't pay a lot of attention to that stuff because it's so irrelevant. It's not just with the Patriots. I mean, you say it's copycat league. So what, is there a copycat league to beating the Falcons now or something? Or, I don't know, Philadelphia? I mean, what copycat league? I mean, Michael Vick, you know, it's looked great against the Giants. We all know what he did against Washington. He looked subpar against the Bears. And he looked pretty bad early against the Giants, to be honest with you. I mean, he obviously made up for it. But, you know, what this copycat league. You know, it's so easy. If you play well, you'll do well. And if you don't, you won't. And if you win the battle of the turnovers, most of the time, you're going to win the game. That's what the Patriots do better than anybody. They're number one in turnover ratio. A stat that nobody still likes to really talk about all that much. Now people are starting to figure it out. You know, they're not so much in that yardage crap anymore, which is what I've been saying all year long. It's red zone. The only three numbers you need to worry about in the NFL, trust me, as far as yardage is, you want to go talk to me about net yardage in the red zone on offense, net yardage in the red zone on defense, and talk to me about turnover ratio. That's it. You're near the top of that league in two of those three categories, or close to all three, whatever it is, your team's probably doing very well. I don't care about net yardage. It means it's useless. It is absolutely useless for the most part. Because unless you watch every single minute of every single game, there are so many times that teams have, you know, double-digit leads or more, and there's too much garbage yardage in the NFL. There's a lot of it. Just like in basketball, you see teams go on runs when they're up by 20 or let up a little bit, and teams have to win by 7 or 8 points. Happens all the time. Not with the Celtics, but everybody else. So I'm trying to make everybody look at the big picture here and not have this ridiculous, somewhat over-media-hyped, pass-or-fail-type mentality, and certainly this blueprint-slash-copycat league that emailer Tiffany's been talking about and some others, and she's against it, by the way. She makes a good point, as am I and others. I mean, I just unless you show me a chart that charts every single team, I don't see any proof for a copycat league. I don't see it. It's just if you play well on any given Sunday, you're probably going to win. If you don't, you don't. You know? What's a copycat league? I mean, did the Patriots have? What was the Patriots copycat league to beat the Jets? Was that a copy? Was that a, you know? Is that what Pittsburgh did? They watched film with the Patriots against them, which I'm sure they did. But I mean, did the Patriot Jet game have anything to do whatsoever with the Steeler Jet game? Did that game remarkably resemble what the Patriots and Jets did? No. Not at all. So, I don't know what else copycat and blueprint stuff comes up. I know even some coaches like to say it, and maybe there's a little bit of truth to it at some point, maybe for a couple of plays here and there. You might be able to get with it once or twice. But you can't just say, oh, the Browns beat the Patriots and kicked their ass back in week whatever it was, 6 or 5 or whatever it was. So now that's going to be the blueprint. It doesn't work that way. NFL doesn't work that way. People try to come up with reasons why it should work that way, but it doesn't. It's all a lot of freaking hype over it. Nothing. Nothing. Red zone offense, red zone defense, turnover ratio. The rest of it, leave it for Xbox or PlayStation 3. Irrelevant. Fantasy football geeks get all caught up in that stuff. And I know it's their playoff time. I don't want to offend the fantasy football people, but I don't give a rat's ass about fantasy football. I live in reality. You know, fantasy football, net yardage, all that stuff is huge in fantasy football. And I do think there are a lot of people out there that get carried away with those numbers and try to apply it to real football. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything at all. All right, email me at webradio@patriots.com. I also have my Facebook page open at Pete Shepard, S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Just leave a post on my wall and I'll read it. No private messages, please. And also a second hotline, 508-543-7482. Going to take another quick break. Then when we come back, a few more closing thoughts on what I think about the Patriots and the Bills. And then, the moment you've been waiting for, the last time before Christmas. And I promise you, and this isn't a big promise, by the way, but I was so pathetic last week in those picks. Maybe one of the worst weeks I ever had. Now, granted, I got screwed. you know, five or six plays, and I'll, you know, five or six plays here or there, and I'm back at five. I'm at 500. But you know, a couple weeks in a row, I was 10-6, 9-7. But to go 2-14, I mean, I could have been blind throwing darts and come up better with 2-14, 2-14. Wow! And one of my wins was Carolina. Oh my goodness! I did say how I did say I could. I'm not going to do it, but I could technically make myself 3-13 because I did say I wasn't sure what the spread would be with the Patriots, depending on if Matt Flynn would play or Rodgers would play. Now, if Rodgers was playing, I said I thought that the Packers would probably get a backdoor cover at 10.5 points. With Flynn, the line went up to 14.5, and even then, if I had known then what I know now, I still might have said possible backdoor cover for the Packers because of the situation they were in, the Patriots were in, and coming off two big routed wins. And I did not think they were going to play their best game on Sunday night, knowing that Matt Rodgers didn't play. I just didn't. Or Aaron Rodgers couldn't play. I just didn't. But no excuse for my picks. So I will definitely rebound coming up in just a few minutes right here as the Pete Shepherd Show continues until 6 on Patriots.com.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets. tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
All right, back here on Patriots.com. Get to the picks in just a second. A couple of interesting things here. Just a quick side notes. Again, this week, Patriots have a 1 o'clock game in Buffalo on Sunday. We get Kevin Harlan and Solomon Wilcots to call the game.
Clearly not the A-team. Kevin Harlan!
Kevin's kind of like a Marv Albert type of thing going on.
Absolutely.
Kevin's a good play-by-play
totally
guy.
See where that's coming
He's
from.
Very good. Solomon is, not the cream of the crop. You know what I'm saying? We all know Solomon, and he's a nice man and all that stuff. I don't think he's a great analyst, but that's what happens when you play, it's when the best plays the worst in the division. And the other thing I want to say real quick before we do picks is, as an aside, I will be watching this tonight. And I'll watch some of Southern Miss in Louisville, but I've been fascinated by UConn, the women's team. And tonight they can make history, and I do think it is historic. And you can rip women's basketball all you want. I think it's foolish. What these girls have accomplished, and they're about to go for their 89th consecutive win, breaking the UCLA record back in the 70s. You remember who broke that, by the way? It was Digger Phelps, Notre Dame. Remember that game being on NBC back in the day, the one college basketball game they'd show a year, and that was one of them. But it is an unbelievable story what Gina Auriemma and those kids have accomplished at UConn, and they go for 89 wins in a row. And that's unbelievable. That is really, really unbelievable. And against Florida State, ranked 14th, again, another tough challenge, but they'll probably get it done. But it'll be interesting. I will be watching some of that tonight, no question about it. All right. Gather the kids around the radio. Stop what you're doing. Stop cooking. Turn off the microwave. Turn off the stove. Just get near your computer. Turn the TV down on mute. Gather your family. Call your friends.
Like the suspenseful music there, Pete?
Yes, I do. Now it's time for Pete's Picks for Week 16 in your National Football League. Now let's pick the Patriots game last. Here we go. Game number one. What a doozy. Steelers at home against Carolina. Actually, that's Thursday night, by the way. Steelers favored by 14.5. 14.5. Now, I wish I knew if Polamalu was playing or not, because it would affect my decision. But I'm not sure yet. My gut feeling is he probably will. But I'm still going to take Carolina with the 14.5. That game has backdoor cover written all over it. Not sure the Steelers are going to be in blowout mode.
That's a game they really need, though, after the loss.
Well, I'm not saying they won't win. They'll win the game. I just think that's 14.5 points. And this
is a short week.
This will be one of those games. Yeah, short week. This is going to be one of those games. The Steelers either win by 40 or Carolina, does a backdoor cover, loses by like 10, 13 points, somewhere on there. But too many points for me. I'd like Carolina with the 14.5. Dallas is on the road. They're 6.5-point favorites. Who would have thunk it at Arizona? Cowboys playing better. Blew a big lead to the Redskins last week, but hung on for a 3-point win. Arizona is terrible. I'm saying that every week, though. I say the same thing every week. A horrible game to watch. But Dallas minus 6.5. They get the call. The Miami Dolphins are home. In 3.5-point favorite. They're mathematically eliminated. I think they're out. They're gone. They're done. Game means nothing. How about the Lions go into Tampa Bay and shock the world and snap like a 28 game road losing streak? The Lions are red hot. I like them. They beat Green Bay. They beat Tampa Bay. And now they're going to go in Miami and beat the Dolphins. I like Detroit. Plus 3.5. They're playing well. The Philadelphia Eagles are home. After that very impressive come-from-behind win against the slumping Giants. They're home against Minnesota. Eagles are minus 14. I just like the Eagles big. Big, big, big. This is one time I laid a number. I'm not sure if Favre, whatever. I mean, he knocked out of the game yesterday. You knew that was going to happen. It's only a matter of time. Not sure what's going to happen this week. But I like Philadelphia. This one minus the 14. Jacksonville, they are home, playing pretty well despite their loss at Indy last week. They're home to Washington. The Redskins are with Rex Grossman. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't know what Mike Shanahan's trying to do. Not sure Rex Grossman is the quarterback of the future for the Redskins. I don't know. But I am taking the Jacksonville Jaguars to rebound and rebound with a vengeance and take their frustrations out on the Washington Redskins. Jacksonville minus 7. They get the call. The battle of who can finish 500 in the NFC and maybe win, get to the playoffs. The St. Louis Rams are home against San Francisco. Rams minus 2. Rams are young. Pretty good quarterback and rookie. San Francisco on the road, I don't know. I'm taking the Rams. I thought the Rams would beat Kansas City last week, and they didn't show up for a while. I think they rebound well. I think St. Louis wins this game as they struggle to get to 500 and win the division in the NFC West. I'm taking the Rams minus 2. Next up is Tampa Bay. They are home, 6-point favorite against the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks suck. I mean, they really do. They were embarrassed this week at home by Atlanta. They go on the road. Tampa Bay gets vengeance. Tampa Bay minus 6. They get the call. The Bears are home. 1-point favorites. They have anything else to play for? Possibly. Possibly a seeding. They're home against the Jets. I still do not believe in the Jets. I don't believe it. They got to prove it to me again. I'll take the Bears here minus 1 against the Jets. I think it's going to be that is the most interesting game of the day, of the week by far, is that Chicago game versus the Jets. What happened?
Music switched on me. I think there was like 5 for fighting or something.
Wow.
There's no need for you to go into soliloquy at this point, Petey.
Chicago minus 1 versus the Jets. That's the play. Baltimore, very interesting game. They are a 3-point favorite. Nice win against New Orleans. They're at Cleveland. The Browns have been playing tough, but they've been losing a lot of tough games as well. And I think Baltimore squeaks one out here by 6 to 7 points. Baltimore minus 3 at Cleveland. Should be a tough, hard-fought, low-scoring game. I like the Ravens. They get it done. Kansas City is home against Tennessee, who finally won for Jeff Fisher against, who'd they beat? Houston? Houston the other day on Sunday. Kansas City minus 5, Matt Castle and company continue to roll, continue to try and get that playoff spot in the AFC West. I like the Chiefs with Castle minus 5 over Tennessee. Very, very interesting game coming up, too. My second most interesting game on the table. There's 3, actually. Indianapolis on the road at Oakland. The Colts are minus 3. The Raiders are underdogs here. This game, I see a lot of points, number 1. I'm picking the Raiders in this spot. I get a bad feeling about the Colts going across the country. I know they're fighting for their lives. I think the Raiders are going to upset them. And that's not too big of a deal. That's not so far-fetched where the Raiders have been playing this year. Raiders plus 3 against Indianapolis. I like them. Houston minus 3 at Denver, one of those Super Bowls that nobody cares about. I'll take the Texans minus 3. Denver sucks. Much like Seattle and Arizona. I mean, they are terrible. That team is lost. The Denver Broncos are playing as poorly as anybody I've ever seen in the NFL this year. They are really, really in shambles over there. My third most interesting game on the board. The Packers are home against the Giants. And, you know, Packers are 2.5-point favorites at home. They are playing for their lives. The Giants win and they're in. They're playing for their lives, too, in a lot of ways. Again, I'm not sure who's going to play quarterback. But I'm taking the Packers here, minus 2.5 at home. Packers are the play, minus 2.5 against the Giants. San Diego is home against, or San Diego, no, excuse me, it's at Cincinnati. The Bengals are done. Done, despite their win over Cleveland. Again, I say it for the 13th consecutive week, how does Marvin Lewis still have a job? But he does somehow, some way. They'll wait till the end of the season before they let him go. San Diego minus 7.5. They get the call here. I think they whip Cincinnati in the Queen City. I think they whip them badly. San Diego big, minus 7.5. Lay it. Monday Night Football. Another interesting game. Falcons are home with Matt Ryan. 2.5-point favorite against New Orleans. Very, very interesting game here. I am going to go with the Falcons. They seem to be, are they peaking at the right time? They're just playing good football. They are just playing good football. New Orleans lost a tough one against a good Baltimore team on the road. This game could go either way. It's almost a coin flip for me, but I'm going to take the Falcons at home where they haven't lost with Matt Ryan at quarterback. And finally, tonight, on Sunday at 1, in Buffalo, you know the numbers. Patriots going for their 15th straight win over the Bills. The only game in the last seven in Buffalo decided by one score. It's only happened once. That was last year, 17-10. Patriots will get it together. They will come out huge. Watch Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez in this game. The Bills have nobody to stop these guys. Nobody. Patriots come back. They bring it all together. And they whip up on the Buffalo Bills again in Buffalo, 34-14. Right now they are 8-point favorites. The Patriots are -8 in Buffalo. They win by 20. Bills will not lay down. They'll fight. They just don't have the talent to keep up with the Patriots. This will not be what happened 38-30 12 weeks ago in Foxborough. Don't even think that game has anything to do with this one. It doesn't. The Bills have the worst run defense in football. I know my buddy Chris was talking earlier about the Bills improving on run defense against, you know, some teams that just don't have the offensive firepower the Patriots do. But Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead are going to have a field day. And Gronkowski is going to have a field day. And the receiving core, there's just no way the Bills can stop this team. The Patriots can stop themselves with some turnovers. That's the only way that happens. But I think Brady and the Patriots roll 34-14. That's your final. Patriots improved to 13-2. And by the end of the day, we'll have clinched home field advantage for the entire AFC. The road to the Super Bowl will once again go through Foxborough. Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a safe and healthy Christmas, Kevin. Have a great time. Thanks for producing all this thing. Jason, who's not here today.
Same to you.
Thank you very much. I wish all of you out there a very healthy, happy, and safe Christmas. I'll be back on the air next Tuesday. We'll be talking about home field advantage for the playoffs. And a big debate next week, I guarantee you, because the Patriots are going to win this game, and they'll be home field, and the Miami game won't matter. And so I'm already starting with some of the, you know, fake fraud columnists out there about, should Brady start? Should he sit? Should he play against Miami on January 2nd? What are they doing?
Everyone sucks but me.
What a dilemma. Well, it'll be a nice problem for Bill Belichick to have. We'll talk about that, get into more, and preview the Dolphins next week on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Again, Patriots will win this one, 34-14, folks. Merry Christmas. Talk to you next Tuesday at 4. Bye-bye.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.